Welcome to the I Love Music Podcast. My name is Jen Fedor. I started the I Love Music Podcast to inspire people who love music, encourage people who work within the industry, and to hear each person's unique story. For this episode, I got to interview Los Angeles-based artist and producer Zach Hurd, who is known for his project called Bay Ledges. On Friday, he releases his new six-song EP called New Days. Over the past couple months, he has been releasing new singles that have been leading up to the release. It's full of dreamy indie pop goodness. We talk about his journey, the new EP, songwriting process, and challenges he has had along the way. For all the latest, check out bayledges.com. All right, let's get into Zach's interview.
Growing up, what were some of your influences in music?
I guess, you know, my parents listened to a lot of music, like my dad listen to the band, like the Beach Boys, Dylan, the Beatles. So there was like, that was playing a lot. My mom was really into like Aretha Franklin and Irvine and Bonnie Raitt. And
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. James Taylor was like,
nice.
We would listen to that a lot in the car. I felt like my dad was such a huge music lover. Like, and he was also like, playing the same song. He was very much a like repeat player, like just
oh man, I am too.
Just like finding a song and that would be the anthem for the, you know, the next month or couple months. So
I do the same thing, or like I might just listen to one album on repeat over and over and over until I'm like, okay, I need to take a break.
Yeah.
Or a song where I'm like, okay, I need to hear it again. Hear it again.
Yeah. My parents were like, they were teachers too. So like my dad, he was super into the band and he loved that song, The Wait. And so he sort of every year for his government class, he would like play that song. So it was just that song sort of just became, I feel like so many like generations of kids that he taught, like just know him for that song. But so the band was like, that last waltz was pretty big in our house.
That's cool.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh man, the last waltz. So good.
It's so good. I know.
How did you get into playing music? Like, did you start off playing guitar or?
Like my dad had an old acoustic guitar that was like in like fifth grade. I took lessons and I tried to learn on it, but it was a pretty crappy guitar and the strings were like so high off the neck. And so I just kind of lost interest. And then, like a couple of years later, I think when I was like 12, a friend of mine got an electric guitar for Christmas. And I just remember learning some Nirvana songs on his Fender Strat. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And the whole idea of like actually being able, because some of those songs like Come As You Are and stuff, that bass line is, it's pretty, it's kind of, it's easy to play. So it was like, it was such a, I felt like some of those songs were such a portal into like, oh my God, this is so fun. So I begged for an electric guitar and my parents actually were like, all right, let's, if you're going to actually play it,
we'll get it for you.
Yeah, we'll do it. But you can't, this cannot just be like a, I just want one for today kind of thing. So I just like, I don't know. It was, I was so into it. And,
what was like the first band you were in or what was that?
You know, I wasn't, it's so funny. Like growing up, I was super into drawing and I like loved drawing cartoons and I like wanted to be a cartoonist. And it was this very like solitary thing that I would do, and I would just kind of like put headphones on and just like draw. And when I started playing guitar, I feel like guitar kind of like took the place of drawing, and it was still a very we moved like right when I turned 12 and right when I started playing guitar. And so like I moved to this new school and didn't really have any friends, and guitar was like,
okay.
It just be kind of, it kind of became this way of like dealing with being pretty bummed out of having to move, and and it was just this, yeah, it was an escape. And so I wasn't in any bands. I guess in high school was the first time I started to actually like play with other people.
Okay.
Like a drummer, and yeah, and that was, it was amazing, but I was still such a like shy player. It definitely didn't sing.
Yeah.
That was like terrifying.
When did you like decide to like start experimenting with singing, and like what was that like for you?
At the end of high school, I started kind of singing more like my senior year, and you could seniors at my school, you could like you could pitch doing like a senior thesis. You know, your thesis could have to do with anything. You just had to sort of like pitch some, that you would have a schedule. And I pitched this idea of recording.
Okay.
Like an album.
Yeah.
And so it would consist of like writing, recording, and performing. And I found this guy who lived in the town of my high school, and
you grew up in Maine, is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this was in Bath, Maine.
Okay.
So it's like 45 minutes up the coast from Portland. And yeah, this guy had a recording studio in his barn, and two of my classmates, both of them were great musicians, but one of them played piano. The other was a singer, and they were like, oh, we want to do this senior thesis. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And so the three of us like pitched this idea, and we sort of approached this guy with the recording studio, and he was all about it, and he sort of like helped us write this like curriculum, I guess. Like,
okay. Just
a course schedule. And and so, yeah, so that, I feel like senior year, I got more into singing and writing, and from there kept doing it. But I think when I went to college, I wasn't playing out or anything, but I definitely was like locking myself in my room and like just writing songs. And
yeah. How did you make your way to Los Angeles then?
Yeah. So I lived in New York for a while. I was in New York for like 7 years, and I just like did open mics, and then ended up like recording a few albums, and
under Bay Ledges then?
It was just under my name, Zach Hurd.
Okay.
Yeah. And did some like touring, and but like, you know, worked a 9-to-5, and yeah, I'm trying to think, I guess this was like 2014. I was like ready to leave New York. I'd just like gone through this breakup, and I had been wanting to leave New York, and then I think finally when the breakup happened, it was like, okay, I'm still gonna figure this out. But I had no idea what I was gonna do. So
right.
My sisters were like, you should just come to LA and just check it out. Like, just, so I came out, and I just planned to come for 2 weeks, and then I just ended up never leaving.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so great. So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I came out, just like got a job at a restaurant, and yeah. And then the Bay Ledges thing, kind of slowly started. Or right when I moved out here.
That's great.
Yeah, kind of like slow. I just finished a Kickstarter and an album in New York, and came out here with the album, and I like gave it to all these music supervisors and was like sending it out. And
yeah.
And, you know, nothing really came of it. And I just was like, man, I just was kind of burnt out on doing the singer-songwriter thing, just like the kind of acoustic guitar. And when I moved from New York, a friend of mine had given me Ableton.
Okay.
And I think the idea was like we would send stuff back and forth, and he was pretty proficient on it. I had never used it. And then so I guess just one day I was like, oh, I'm just going to try messing around with this thing. So I just started using it, and it was like this whole I mean, it was sort of like learning to play the guitar for the first time. It was like, right. Wow, this is like an incredible tool. I can like chop up guitars and vocals and
there's so much to learn.
Yeah, there's so much to learn, but this is like so fun. And I didn't really have an intention of like, when I started it, I wasn't thinking it would be like a thing. I was thinking it would just sort of be this fun thing that I did on the back burner of like trying to pursue my like solo Zach Hurd stuff.
Yeah.
And it just kind of more and more I just thought it was so fun, and I was sort of not having as much fun like trying to book shows and do right. all the stuff you're kind of supposed to do as an artist. So I was just like, man, what if I just like only focus now on the stuff that feels good and kind of drop the stuff that I've been doing this for a while. And so right. maybe if I just sort of focus on the fun part, it'll lead me, you know, to where I'm supposed to go. So yeah, I just like at that point, I just kind of made Bay Ledges was sort of like, I'm only doing this. And
that's great. So like after learning Ableton and everything, is that when you started putting together like some Bay Ledges songs, or how did Bay Ledges come together?
I started like the first song I started was Tween Love, and I was so excited about it when I finished it, and I just put it up on SoundCloud, and then I knew I didn't want to put it under my name. I just wanted it to be kind of its own thing, independent of me. So yeah, so I came up with the name Bay Ledges. Like, you know, I was like talking to my sisters about it, and it was really just a song that I shared with them, and they were like, this is so cool. And then after that song, I just kind of kept making songs and just kept putting them up on SoundCloud, and I would kind of send them out to some like bloggers and stuff, but
yeah,
that was kind of the extent of it.
How did you get connected to the label then? What was that like for you?
As I kind of kept, so that was like, I guess I started it beginning of 2015. And so I kind of like kept doing it. I put out an EP, and you know, I had like an EP release, but it was like this house show. It was
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Just, yeah, it was so fun. And then after the EP, I put out this song Safe. And at that point, I think I had kind of like figured, okay, I think maybe this is sort of where music kind of ends for me as a like professional pursuit. Like, you know, it's just not, I just wasn't really seeing a roadmap to where I was gonna, you know, kind of always the pursuit had been, I eventually want to leave my day job and do music, but it just wasn't really opening that way. So I put out Safe, and then I guess after a couple weeks, like I remember a friend like text messaged me and was like, "Yo, man, like your song is on Fresh Finds," and like, "How'd you get it on there?" And I didn't even know what Fresh Finds was on Spotify.
Yeah,
and so I just was like, I had no idea, and then a couple days later, they put it on New Music Friday.
That's then, great.
Yeah, which I was like, and I still had no idea. It was like insane. I was like, what? This is crazy.
This is crazy.
Yeah. And so, and then the song started going viral, and then labels, I just started getting emails from labels like, you know, what we'd love to hear what else you're working on, and all that. I mean, it's like Columbia and Warner Brothers, and it was just so surreal. And then my manager at the time had his cousin worked for a label called S Curve out of New York, and so I was, you know, getting all this label attention. He was just like, "Can I just give this to my cousin?" And I was like, "Sure." And I ended up having a meeting with them, and then ended up signing with them.
Okay.
And nice. So yeah, it was it was a very it was just very surreal
time. Because it's like you were working so hard on your solo stuff.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of like, okay, I just need to leave that behind. And then things kind of just aligned a little bit where,
Yeah, no, it was funny that when I kind of stopped caring so much about how it was going to work out and, and all that, it is sort of when it fell into place. But
what's your songwriting process like?
It kind of has been in a lot of different ways, but mostly it's just starting on the acoustic guitar and kind of singing some gibberish and then waiting for a line to pop out.
Yeah.
And then sort of latching onto that and kind of building around that. Sometimes too, I'll just try to make a track in Ableton. And then try to write lyrics on top of that. But mostly it starts with the guitar still.
Nice. Working with a label and everything. What are some of the challenges there?
Man, there's so many. I think one of the biggest challenges was, Bay Ledges at that time in 2016, 2017, it was still such a young project. It was so new.
Yeah.
That they were trying to figure it out. And I was too. And I think they kind of had their ideas of what it should be. And I think aesthetically, I think we just had very different views of what we both liked. So there was sort of a lot of figuring that out and
that's hard. When a project is just beginning and as an artist, you're not exactly sure what the full vision of the overarching project or the way you want to be presented to the, PR stuff and all that. That's hard.
Yeah, most definitely. And so it was, I having my sister sing on tracks was, was something that I definitely would do. And I think they, were very much wanting to make that more of a solid component. And so it was, and I get from a marketing standpoint, it's if you're trying to sell something, you need to be able to kind of say what it is and all that. But yeah, it's from the artist standpoint, it can get tricky when you're trying to sort of figure it out. And you also just kind of have to, I think for me, it made me have to really think about what are the things I can bend on and what can't I bend on. It's tough when you're working with a team of people because there were times where I just was like, am I just being such a diva right now? Am I thinking too much about this? And I think stepping back now and looking at it, it's like, no, that's not what was happening, but it's, I think there were definitely moments that I was kind of wondering that.
When you're in the thick of something, you can't necessarily see the full picture, but later when you step back, you can what was really going on there? So that's good. That's good that now that you have that, that perspective. So
it was a good experience. I mean, it was, I recently left them. This was probably 4 months ago, but I think for me too, it was a lesson. And, I think whether it's signing with a label or management or PR or whoever, it's you really want to make sure that, whether you can kind of see from some of their past work, of stuff they worked on or just from conversations you're having about your own project that it's we really mesh in what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. It's a huge part. It's a huge part in management or working with the labels. So
yeah, I think just where I was, it was oh man, yeah, I'm getting paid for this, and this is like a whole team. Yeah. And if I, you know, if I can just, I think there was this idea of like, you know, if we put out a song and I can like kind of prove myself, eventually I'll have sort of more of the say in really dictating where the ship goes. But, you know, you got to kind of pay your dues a little bit. And
yeah.
I think that, I guess maybe in some scenarios, that's the right way of looking at it. But I think for me, it wasn't. And
do you have any like fun? I mean, I know you got to like tour a bunch. Do you have any fun tour memories or places that stick out from the time when we could go to shows?
Yeah. I mean, that, so all that being said, I feel like I said a bunch of negative things about my label, but they really did support the touring, which,
yeah,
you know, I'm so grateful to have the experience, just because I wouldn't have been able to tour the way I did and prior to the pandemic. And yeah, I mean, playing festivals, like, I'm trying to think, the summer before last, like going to Canada, Chicago, and New York, just playing so many festivals that were just so fun. It's just like, oh my God. And then, you know, last summer I did like a co-headline tour with this band, The Palms. It was so fun to like, you're kind of like just a big family.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Do you have any like tips or advice for artists, like on the music side of maybe dealing with label stuff?
I feel like, I don't know how helpful it is, but definitely I think like following your gut is key. If you're not feeling excited or good about sort of where things are going or what you're working on, I think that's like in my experience, I feel like that was it's a sign that you got to like step back and really look at where you're going. So I would say that if you're kind of losing steam or losing excitement about the project, like thinking about that, but
that's important.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's like why we do it. So yeah,
exactly.
You know. Yeah.
So you're releasing a new EP in like in August. How did the songs come together for the EP, and what's that process been like for you?
Some of them came together like kind of at the tail end of leaving my label, but most of them have sort of been, I guess they were written in the last 4 months, end of February to now.
Okay.
And I guess it's just like for everybody, it's just been weird to kind of, I work on recording a lot anyway, but it was sort of wild to like, you're like, okay, everybody's sort of at home and I'm just going to like really dive in. And it honestly, it just felt really good and freeing. Not that the pandemic was happening, but that I was just kind of making music again that was for me and not sort of trying to fulfill some sort of marketing idea that my label was trying to push. So kind of getting back to that, I think was really what the last four and a half, five months have been about for me. And so that's what a lot of these songs have kind of come out of. So
I really love like the artwork. Do you come up with the artwork? Cause like, I love bright colors just in general. And like,
Well, the previous stuff for my previous EPs, a friend of mine did like the very first EP and then the Fountain Tropical.
Okay.
And he's a guy I worked with. We worked at the restaurant together.
Oh, nice.
And he's a good designer and he does like sign painting and stuff. But so he did that, those two. And then I kind of found a this artist online, Raffi Greaves, who did the In Waves cover, and
okay,
kind of the more recent stuff. I've just been very DIY.
Okay, nice. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's been really fun. It's been fun to like back into being creative in a more like visual way too.
I ask this to all my guests. Why do you love music?
Man, there's like so many components to it, but I love, I love that I can get lost in it. And it's just, it taps into something that's like deeper in me that is, I can't always articulate that, that I feel like music, it kind of speaks this other language that is really at a deep level, and then that it's also something that you can create, you can make it. And you can kind of continue to get better, to like find new ways of approaching it and new ways of refining it. That to me, I'm just like obsessed with the, in terms of like production, and it's just something that I genuinely, you know, for so long I haven't really been paid for it or anything. So it's been just like this pursuit of out of love. So yeah, it just is so fun. It's so such a joy.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. Anything else you want to share about your journey or music process?
I mean, I guess I would say also to people, I was working with this band the other day, and we were talking about gear and just sort of like, you know, the best gear to have, and how you make something that sounds professional and all that. And I think something that's been comforting is that, you know, gear is really helpful, you know, getting good, you know, better gear and all that, but you really don't need a lot to make a good recording. It's really, you know, the song is so powerful, and that, I mean, I think for me, kind of constantly this balance of like wanting cool new gear, but also remembering that like you don't really need a lot of it to make something that's really cool.
Do you have any recommendations of like
gear?
minimal gear.
Well, you know? I would, so like microphone wise, like when I first started, really up until like, I think 2 years ago, I was just using this Apogee. It's the Apogee mic that's USB. And it's this guy I had met before I moved to LA was like, if you do one thing, like just get this mic and it'll be so helpful to you. It's super easy and you can take it everywhere. It's super small. It's USB, so it goes right in. It's like $200. It may even be cheaper than that, but you know, I mean, it's definitely not gonna pick up the widest spectrum of all the frequencies, but it's really, I don't know. I think if you're like just kind of trying to get things started and not trying to buy like $1,000 microphone, it's great. I kind of used it for everything. And then obviously I think most people have it, but the SM7 is such a awesome, I use it for on guitars too, but, not very expensive either.
Cool.
Yeah. Just a couple
recommendations. I love it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Jen.
Yeah, this was great. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to chat with you.
Thanks again to Zach for being on the show and to the Bang Ups for the theme music. This has been the I Love Music Podcast with Jen Fedor.